Day after Christmas, the day after, how do you feel? What will you do? And what does your house look like? Those are some questions for us. Don't know what your house looks like. Maybe, how do you feel? Well, you know, maybe you feel great. Maybe you feel now you can really relax. And you've got days off maybe stretching ahead of you and it's wonderful. Maybe you just feel tired because you worked so hard to make yesterday special for your family. Maybe your house is a mess and maybe you feel that chaos in your head too. I don't know. Maybe you're longing, just longing to take down the tree and the decorations and just get back to normal. There are some people like that on Boxing Day. Or maybe you feel a bit flat after all the excitement. Think about those shepherds in their fields abiding on the hillside. They were so excited to have seen the baby Jesus. They told everyone, they went away singing praises. So amazed to see the heavenly host, that choir singing to them. The Bible said, as I said, they told everyone what they'd heard and seen. But just imagine once they got back onto the cold and lonely hillside, at some point, maybe not that day, maybe not the next day, maybe not the next week, but at some point they must have started thinking to themselves, did that really happen? Did that really happen? Was it true? We don't know, do we? I wonder how it shaped their lives going forward. We don't know. And what about Mary? What happened for her on that day after that first Christmas? We know what Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, had said to her. This is before the baby was born. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Amazing words to be told about the baby that you're going to have. But this child in her arms that needed feeding and needed changing and quieting and all the rest of us, this child disturbing her sleep, just looked like all the other babies, I would have thought. Was he really so special? I mean, everyone thinks their baby is special, don't they? But was he really that special one? You know, once a baby comes, nothing is ever the same again, is it? A baby brings change. And often a baby brings chaos. Perhaps she wondered too from time to time. I'm sure she might have done. Is it all true? Those words, they just seem so unlikely. Well, you know, we're not told too much about the days following Jesus' birth, but we are told this, that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. It's a lovely verse, isn't it? She treasured these things, the words she'd heard, the visits, the people, the angelic host and so forth. She pondered them. She thought about them. That's what she did the next day. And the day after that, and the day after that, when she felt tired and frazzled and stressed, she thought about those things. You know, a few weeks ago, I was very blessed to be released for a couple of days to escape to the Lake District, and I had a few days doing one of the things that I love the most, to walk on the hills. It was wonderful. But you know, the last morning, before the long drive home, I was going to fit in a little walk before I got in the car and drove home. And I thought I'd go up Dove Crag from kind of Patterdale. And I went up there, and just before I hit the top, I knew it'd be fresh. And boy, the wind was so strong. It was amazing. And I was up the top and I was being battered by the wind, and I felt the elements and all the rest of it. But I didn't want to leave the top, because I knew once I started the descent down, I'd be going down the valley and then into my car and driving home. Now, you know, I had lots of reasons to come home. I had a lovely family to come home to. And I had wonderful church to come home to. But I would quite like to have stayed up there just a bit longer. Just a little bit longer. But you know, the way I dealt with that is actually as I walked back to the car, I gave thanks to God. Gave thanks to God for the time I'd had on the hills. I also gave thanks to him for my lovely family and my church family that I was going back to. And actually that really helped me just to leave at peace. I'd enjoyed that, but it was time to go and that was fine. It's time to go home. And it has been great on the mountaintop. But I had to go back down to the valley. And that was fine. You know, we have mountaintop experiences in our lives. Sometimes it's special days, like Christmas Day might be one of them. You know, you're surrounded maybe by people you love. Of course, not for everyone. For some days, for some people, it's a very lonely and a hard day. And sometimes there are family tensions that make it hard. But it might be a special day. But there might be other things in your life that are real mountaintop experiences. They buoy you up and make you excited and you feel, you know, full of life and wonder. But they don't last. It can't be Christmas Day every day. It can't be your birthday every day. You can't be with that particular person every day, maybe. Maybe in our Christian lives, we know mountaintop experiences where the Lord has felt particularly close to us. Where he seems near, where his kingdom seems particularly real. And we feel the joy of knowing him and serving him. Or maybe you look back to the joy you had when you first became a believer. And you think, wow, yes, but what's happened? Well, William Cooper wrote a hymn about that, didn't he? Where is the blessedness I knew when first where is the blessedness I saw when first I knew the Lord? It's wonderful, but it's a mountaintop, but we can't live on the mountaintops. You know, Mary, on that first day, Sinclair Ferguson, in his excellent book of, I say it's excellent, let me be clean about this, I haven't read it, but lots of people have read it. And Lizzie's reading it at the moment, and she showed me this bit. Sinclair Ferguson talks about the joy and the stress of Christmas. Mary knew joy. She was a new mother. Of course, she knew joy. But she would also have known stress, wouldn't she? She would. And you know, there's so much about that in good times, but just through life generally. There is joy. There is stress. And we have those things together, don't we? As believers, we have those things together. That stress could be brought by all kinds of things. By a job that's not going well, or a relationship that's not going well, or illness, or hardship of some other kind brings stress. And yes, we have joy in the Lord, but we have that stress. We remember the mountaintops, but we're in the valley right now. How do we keep going in the valley? Friends, we treasure these things up in our heart, and we ponder them, and we keep going. You know, when my kids were little, still happens now occasionally actually, but now I'm less likely to be able to drag them out on a walk going up a hill somewhere, because if we came to a steep hill, it was a bit of a struggle to get the kids up the hill at times. We used to sing a song. You may have heard me sing this song before. It's a very simple song. I don't think it's ever going to be the Christmas number one, or but it goes like this, very simple. 1 foot in front of the other, that's how we get up a hill. 1 foot in front of the other, that's how we get up a hill. That's it. There are no other words. That's it. 1 foot in front of, because it's true, isn't it? There's deep, deep, profound truth in that. That's how you get up a hill, by putting 1 foot in front of the other. How do we go on in our lives? Knowing the joy of the Lord, yes, but experiencing the stress of life in this fallen and difficult world by putting 1 foot in front of the other with the Lord. We keep going. We keep going. In the valleys, we keep going. And there'll be things we don't understand and questions we can't answer. And there'll be times when we doubt whether it was all like those shepherds. Did that really happen? Was it real? Wasn't quite turned out as I thought it would. Perhaps I've been mistaken. But we keep on. We treasure what we know. We treasure what we believe. We believe our beliefs, as my old pastor used to say. We believe our beliefs and we doubt our doubts. That's the way to proceed. Sometimes one doubt comes up and we fixate on it and it becomes the only thing we know. No, let's believe our beliefs. Let's doubt our doubts and put one foot in the front of the other as we ponder the things that we know are true, that God has shown us, that we can look back to and remember. We keep on calling out to him in prayer, keep on responding to his prompts, putting one foot in front of the other, obeying his word, loving God, loving each other, making sure we're being fed, making sure he can change us from those things that are smelly and nasty, making sure that we're reminding ourselves of his love for us. That's how we live in the humdrum, in the valley. We serve God in the routine and in the humdrum. Sometimes we long to be one of those amazing, famous people with amazing talents, maybe musical talents or sporting gifts, and we imagine ourselves to be them and getting all the fame and the adulation they have, and we think that must be wonderful. But just think of the hours of practice that they've put in. Just think of the hours of just putting one foot in front of the other, where nobody sees, where nobody's clapping. And actually, we may never be in that place of adulation, but still, one foot in front of the other. That's how we go on with the Lord in the humdrum. That's where God works. Think of the seed, the tiny seed sown into the ground, into the darkness, where nobody can see it. Nobody but God. But think of it starting to grow, to sprout from the soil. You remember Jesus' parable of the mustard seed? The smallest seed growing into this huge bush that is a blessing to many, many other animals. Started from a tiny seed growing in the dark. That's our lives. Again, my old pastor up in Nottingham, Peter Lewis, used to say about that parable, we dislike obscurity because we doubt vitality. That seed has the life of God in it, the power of God. It's vital. It grows. Doesn't matter if anyone can't see it. And that's our lives too. There's vitality in them as we trust in the Lord. If we have God's life working in us, it doesn't matter if we're buried deep where nobody sees, because there can still be a wonderful harvest. As long as we treasure these things, I'm supposed to show you that picture. As long as we treasure these things up, his word, treasure the Lord Jesus himself in our hearts and keep taking those steps of faith in the dark, holding his hand one step in front of the other. Because in the words of Matthew West, happy day after Christmas, merry rest of the year, even when Christmas is over, the light of the world is still here. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus, the light of the world. Thank you that he's come into our lives. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's not yet put their trust in him, who's not yet looked to him and seen that light, I pray that you will take remove the scales from their eyes and help them to see and turn and live. But Lord, all of us, it's wonderful to have mountaintop experiences with you, and we yearn for them, and it's not wrong to pray for them, Lord. But we know that's not where we live the most of our lives. We live the most of our lives in the valley. And I pray, Lord, for those who are particularly in dark valleys at the moment, and the path is not even, Lord, I pray that you will come alongside and help them treasure these things, to ponder them in their heart, and to put one foot in front of the other with you. Please, Lord, strengthen us all, I pray, because Jesus is with us, and he is the light of the world. Amen.